to admit it. Oh, come on home to me.
Hello, everybody, and thanks for showing up tonight. I appreciate it. We have a very special guest tonight. Her name is Kathmandu, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about her before I bring her on. Kat is a metaphysical minister, medium, and clairvoyant with a Bachelor of Metaphysical Science from Sedona University. Kat started getting her first spirit messages through clairaudience at 12, but thought she was going a bit mad. After reading T. Lobsang Rampa's You Forever, she realized what was happening and started opening other psychic abilities like reading auras and astral traveling, and at 18 studied astrology and is now a fully fledged astrologer. Having a Christian mother and a Jewish father, Kat became interested in the Kabbalah, which led to studies in Kabbalistic white magic and Wicca, running several covens by the time she was 19. Further studies of comparative religions gave her a deep understanding of where other belief systems sat and how they were all trying to get to the same place. After having her three daughters, Kat did a retreat with H.H. Dalai Lama, studying meditation and undergoing the Kala Chakra initiation. She has written the book on meditation for lightworkers, has two more books in the pipeline, and annotations of Wallace Waddell's great The Science of Getting Rich and The Science of Being Well, where she explains these 100-year-old texts into modern-day language along with their metaphysical meanings. Pretty freaking cool. Kat runs courses and workshops in psychic development, astrology, meditation, and astral travel, and also runs Dinner with the Dead, a dinner show with three mediums in the Evolve Mind Body Spirit Expo in Paddington, Australia. And she is Australian. She's calling from Australia. So let's get her on here because I got some questions. Okay, where are you, Kat? There you are. Okay. Kat.
Hi, I'm here.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Thank you. Yes, I can hear you. Yep. Can you hear
okay.
me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you okay.
Okay, good. So, Kat, now you have such an interesting biography here, a short bio. Now, can you start by telling me what it was like when you were 12, when you started experiencing some interesting things?
Well, I started hearing voices. Okay, and at first they were friendly. And then they started telling me things that I was uncomfortable with. And so I started to push them away. And when they started coming during the daytime as well as the nighttime, I got really frightened. So what I did was I wrapped myself in like a white light cloak and just covered myself, and I was going to Catholic school at the time. I was in a Catholic high school, so I'm praying to Jesus, please save me, please save me. What are these voices? Why am I hearing these things? And I heard them kind of falling off me, like a no kind of feeling of falling off me. And that's when I learned that how entities can attach to light workers' auras, because you kind of light yourself up as a beacon on the astral plane when you're doing light work. And I learned to protect myself. I also learned about astral travel and that lower astral plane where these things tend to like to congregate, and how to get through it safely. So that's what began my interest in traveling through the ethers and through the astral realms safely, for people to be able to do it safely, because there's a lot of people that kind of have done it and they've encountered similar things, or they've had changes to their personalities, and it can be quite mentally dangerous if you're not prepared. So fortunately, I wasn't mentally ill or anything like that. It was just that I was able to hear these voices. And anyway, I closed it off. I got so scared with it that I closed it off. And it wasn't until I was doing a lot of just work in psychic shows and things like that, where I was meeting more mediums and sort of talking to them about it. And they'd all say to me, you know, you can do this. You know, you've got that. I said, yeah, I know. And I told them the story that I used to be able to do this. And so don't be afraid to turn it back on. So it wasn't until I was about 50, maybe 48, 50, that I had the courage to turn it back on and actually start channeling people through. And because I've got, I'm a lot older than I was when I was 12, and I know how to protect myself and know the difference between entities pretending to be spirits and actual spirits. So, yeah, that's fun times.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it must have been pretty scary at 12 years old. You know what I mean?
Like, it was, because I can't it was even...
Go on,
sorry.
No, go ahead. I think that on Skype we're kind of on a delay a little bit. I apologize.
Oh, no, you're right. No, I was just going to say it was because I was, going to Christian school, anything like this was just completely the opposite. You know, you immediately start thinking, it's the devil's work. Is the devil talking to me? You know, you get into that good and evil kind of dichotomy without really necessarily understanding the mechanisms of what's going on in the other worlds, or even if there are other worlds, or what the layers are. It wasn't until I explored in Buddhism and that kind of thing that I realized that there were other realms that were, subtler planes going up into what we term as heaven or spiritual realm. So it was extremely scary coming from that point, that viewpoint. It was like the complete opposite. If I were a Buddhist child, I probably wouldn't have been so frightened, or even a Wiccan child, I probably wouldn't have been so frightened, but because it was the exact opposite of what everything that I believed, I honestly thought there was something wrong with me. Fortunately, I didn't tell my mother, who probably would have taken me to a psychiatrist.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So now I, you know, the whole astral plane thing. Now, you said you learned how to astral travel. Can you kind of tell us what it's like to be on that plane? Like, how do you see things? And do the things on the astral plane see you?
Well, it depends which part you're talking about, because there are two distinct parts to the astral plane. There is what we term the lower astral plane, and there's the upper astral plane, which is fifth dimension, heaven, all the nice things that we tend to see. The lower astral plane is where things get stuck. It's where thought forms reside. It's where rapists and murderers, earthbound spirits, can't get any higher than that plane. A lot of beings that don't know that they've passed over, that have like maybe died in an accident, and they still think that they're still figuring out that they can't actually communicate with anybody because they're still a spirit and they're trying to get back to their loved ones. So that kind of earth-binding spirit. So as soon as you raise your head above the water, it's like, oh, someone here to save me, and they all go boom. And this is when we get into trouble if we start, even with some deep meditations, you can have this issue as well. It's very important to know what is going on and to do a protection before you go out. So to protect your astral body and your aura while it's still in your body, and your astral body while it's out there. And once you get through that, which you can do once you decide, if you decide you don't want to have to deal with that and that you're strong enough to be able to just go through the lower astral and straight into the upper astral, then you really can do it without any problems from that point on. Just don't stop and look around. It's kind of like going through Diagon Alley. You put your head down and you don't talk to anybody.
Right. I imagine. So interesting to me. When I feel like I am on that kind of astral plane, I guess it would be, it looks like things are black and white and it looks dark. So it's probably the lower astral plane that I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Astral heaven or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Yeah, it does look very dark, it's creepy. There's really no other way to sort of talk about it. It's creepy, and very often you'll get beings who pretend to be Jesus, or they pretend to be Saint Germain, or some ascended master, or they might pretend to be Freddie Mercury or somebody like that, and they'll always give themselves away down the track. They'll all, you know, they'll be very good at, you know, giving you sound advice and, you know, the earth needs to do this and, you know, this is a message for the earth and all of these kinds of channels. But then they get into the negativity and that's what gives them away. It's like, no, red flag. You can't be a spirit being if you're telling me stuff like this. So this is where it gets a bit tricky. And I've found over the years, especially on Facebook, you'll get people channeling all kinds of things, and you get to tell pretty much straight away if it's a genuine channel or if it's not a genuine channel, because the non-genuine channels will go off on a tangent and tell people that, you know, all this evil stuff and bad stuff's going to happen which isn't the case. It's all a case of, you know, how you view things. Nothing is inevitable. And it starts to make people feel, if something makes you feel frightened, it belongs to the lower astral stuff. It's always a good rule of thumb if you're listening to any channels like that. If it makes you feel bad, don't continue to listen to it.
Right. That's a really good point, Kat, because I know that there are some readers or channelers, if you want to call them that, out there that, first of all, I think you agree with me that a spirit would never tell you how to be or how to live your life or what decision to make. right?
No. No, it's too mundane for that kind of level of spirit. They may talk to your sort of, if you were to ask, say, Archangel Michael, how do I deal with X? They would give you an answer that appertains to you, but you're having a personal conversation. If you've got a channel that's sort of giving a general message to the entire world, then I'd be very wary of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't like to cast aspersions on other readers, but I've seen a lot of readers cause harm to people with their, because they're not really reading from spirit, they're reading from their ego. And I've seen people really hurt by bad readings. And it makes me so angry, you know? But anyways, excuse me. So when you say, like, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's very much a case of buyer beware. You need to be very, very discerning to do anything in the spiritual realm. And to buy anything in the spiritual realm, you need to do due diligence on readers and find out what sort of experience they've had and recommendations by all means, you know. Don't just go with the first person. And being popular doesn't necessarily mean that they're that good either. It just means they're really good at marketing.
I agree.
It doesn't, you know, I'm not trying to put them down. They can improve the way they do things, you know, maybe with a couple of little shifts so that they're not getting this negative energy coming through. But it can be a problem to people. People are so vulnerable at the moment, mentally and spiritually at the moment. I work in crystal shops, and I'm usually pretty much booked out for the whole day. And I've constantly got people streaming through that have got a very, very, very vulnerable, very shaky. You can't tell them horrible things. And I mean, the things that you see are only in, if it's a snapshot of where they might be at this particular point in time. If they make a decision to completely change something, like I'm going to get on a plane and go to London, then that reading will no longer be valid. It's only a trajectory of where you are, a snapshot of where you are at this particular point in time, and that can change. Granted, if you stay on this path, it will project for about 6 months. And my readings are usually 6 to 12 months, if you stay on that path. But no guarantee people are going to stay on that path. So, you know, you've got to sort of take it with a little bit of a pinch of salt. But discernment is really, really important. I always stress this to everybody in spiritual realms. Don't just take it as gospel. Don't take anything as gospel. Because we all, like you say, it comes largely down to interpretation. Even when we're channeling something, when a spirit comes into our body, we reference what they're saying by our experience. So we'll all put a different slight on things. This is part of the reason why things like channeling and that have never been able to be scientifically proved, because they can't be generalized or replicated in exactly the same way, because we always put our experience, a little bit of our subjectivity on the interpretation. So, always be mindful that nothing is written in stone.
Mm-hmm. Right, I agree. So you studied with the Dalai Lama. So, I mean, how was that? What was that experience like?
Well, it wasn't like me and the Dalai Lama were really close mates or anything like that. There were about 5,000 other people at the initiation. It was massive. But 6 days with him from morning till night was just amazing. It changed my life. It really did. And so, in a hierarchical way, because he did that initiation with me, he is actually my root guru. And then any other gurus that I have after that, like any of the ones that I went to since then were sort of lesser gurus. But he's like the head of the lineage and he's my root guru. So he opened a lot of chakras with a lot of people that day, and it was an amazing experience. Well, over those 6 days anyway.
I bet. I saw the Dalai Lama in New York City. I think it was Lincoln Center, and it was actually it was a show that involved Tom Waits, the musician, and then the Dalai Lama came out. It was an odd night, but anyway.
Kanye West.
What's that? I didn't hear that.
I said, "We are you saying that was Kanye West?"
No, that not was, Kanye West. It was Tom Waits.
Oh, Tom Waits.
Tom Waits.
Oh, wow, that is bizarre.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was kind of cool. But and then there were Tibetan throat singers also, which I'd never experienced before, but that was very cool. It was like some sort of fundraiser for something, because I remember the tickets were very expensive. I can't remember what it was. So you're also a fully fledged astrologer. So Kat, what can you tell us about the astrology of what's happening in the world right now? Like, would you be able to tell us what might be happening astrologically, like how things are going to play out?
Well, I'm not sure what angling's what just at the moment, but I do know that from about August, everything, and I mean everything, is in retrograde. I mean, that is really... That's uncanny. We're talking Pluto, Uranus, Neptune, Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, and Venus, and Mercury at one stage will all be retrograde. So this just puts a spin on everything. When you look at the archetype planets of Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, and I know that poor old Pluto's been dumped by the astronomers, which I'm very sad about because it's probably the prettiest planet of the lot. Pluto astrologically is still very, very important. When those guys hit aspects together, it's a lot of global moving and shaking. Pluto is volcanoes erupting, it's earthquakes, Uranus is storms, hurricanes, tornadoes, all of those kinds of things. Neptune is tidal waves, tsunamis, and not just physical. These aren't just physical things. They could be like mental tsunamis as well. And then you've got Saturn, which is just restrictions on the world. So basically, what we're going through is just massive restrictions on the world right now. And I'm not sure how long the retrograde of the outer planets is going to last. It can last a couple of years. I'll have to look that up. But, yeah, basically for the globe, massive restrictions across. Because Jupiter is also going to be retrograde, if it hasn't already gone retrograde, Jupiter's the expansion planet, and if that's restricted, then it retrograde, then even the expansion through Jupiter is on hold at the moment. So it's like super, 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 super planetary lockdown. And just everybody treading water until this passes, really.
Wow. Gee. So, I mean, is there anything good and positive coming through the astrological, in the astrological sense?
We are on the end of, people think we're going into the Kali Yuga, but we're actually nowhere near the Kali Yuga at this point. We're going into the Silver Age. We're coming out of the Bronze Age, going into the Silver Age. So what's happened, if you're aware of the four ages, I can't remember all of the names of them now. Diwali Yuga, yeah, I think is the Bronze Age or the Iron Age. Basically, the Iron Age is where, like, everyone was kind of killing themselves or killing each other, like, you know, with swords, like Game of Thrones, kind of Middle Age, medieval types of stuff going on. We've come out of that. Well, that might have even been the Bronze Age. We've come out of the Bronze Age, and now we're going into, I think, 2083. We're going to be going into the Silver Age. So the Bronze Age and the Iron Age is falls. It's falling down. So we're declining, and then we hit the nadir, where we now, and then part of the Bronze Age starts to ascend. So we've started our ascension. We started our ascension about, I think it was 200 or 300 years ago. It's coming up as we're going through the Bronze Age, and then we're hitting the cusp of the Silver Age. And I think the Silver Age goes for another 1,000 or so years. I'm getting this off my memory, off the top of my head. I may be incorrect here, but basically the shape of it is correct. It will be quite some time before we hit the Golden Age, but on the plus side, we're getting the next, till 2083, it's going to be like the rat in the corner when it's cornered. A lot of these old ways that are trying to struggle to hang on for the next era know that they're going to die, and they're fighting harder. And it's almost like that feeling is going on at the moment globally. There are some old ways, like the fight, like, for example, mining. They know that, I don't know what it's like in the States there, but Australia are big fans of coal. And it's, you know, the government at least, not the people. The government are all good mates with their mining friends. They're letting people like Adani from India come in and start up another coal mine. You know, that's the last thing we need. It's been destroying our Great Barrier Reef. There's just no consciousness of saving the planet. But sooner or later, the wave will push them to look at some other way of making a living, because it will get swept up in that. Same with the logging industry. It will get swept up, and they will have to look at other ways to make a living. As we become, this next 50 to 60 years is going to be a crucial time frame, and big, 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 big changes across generations before we're swept up and we finally get into that Silver Age, where we're going to start to perhaps be a little more conscious of the planet and of each other and where the Earth fits into the grand scheme of things, that we're not an isolated planet by any means. So, yeah.
Wow. So I think you were you trying to say that we're nowhere near the age of Aquarius, like we've been hearing about since the 1960s?
Oh, no, that's different. No, we're in the age of Aquarius. I'm talking about the Yugas. The Yugas. The age of Aquarius is freedom. But again, like we were talking about that rat in the cage thing, you've still got the old paradigms that are hanging on. So even though there's a lot more freedom, like with internet and all of that, that in itself is a freedom for most people, but the controllers are coming in and trying to control that. But it will get, the momentum is will get too big. It is getting too big. And it will eventually wash them away. We are in the age of Aquarius, which is why we have people who are kind to each other and want freedom for each other and want the planet to be a nice place to be, and who are thinking in terms of green power and ecology and love for animals and not eating animals, et cetera, et cetera. That's all Aquarian stuff. But the four yugas, because the yugas basically is it's the precession of the equinoxes, and it takes 26,000 years to go around. So it's the equinoxes turning, and that's what the four yugas are. They're different to the ages, which take about 2,000 years each. They're kind of like overlapping.
Right. Yeah, I didn't understand what the word was that you were saying. Are you saying yugers?
Yeah. Yeah, yuga.
Okay,
Y-U-G-A.
I don't know what that...
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with what that is, but I guess I don't know a lot about astrologers, so...
The yugers are more of an East astrological mechanism.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a little bit different to the West.
Right. Okay. Interesting. So you wrote the book, Meditation for Light Workers. Tell me, like, Kat, I got to tell you, I don't like meditating, but I'll do it. Like, you know, but what is your advice for people with meditation? Like, how important is it? How long should you do it for, and what do you gain from it?
Okay, I'll start with the last question first. What do you gain from it? From a physiological perspective, what happens when you meditate is the action reaction in your brain gets some distance. You actually rewire your brain. So for people who, if something happens and they react really quickly, like say for someone with rage disorder, for example, that, you know, something happens and they immediately respond, that's very much in the amygdala. It opens up the fear centers and the fear centers take over. Meditation calms that down. It means that after you've meditated for, a while, a couple of months, say 6 to 12 months, you'll find that if something rises you, stimulates you, you kind of have time to think and go, okay, how do I respond to this? And then you respond. You don't just respond with anger. So if you look at the anxiety pathways in the brain, you've got what you see coming in, going through the back of the brain into the visual cortex, then goes into the thalamus, which is like your router. And then it can go one of two ways. It can go to, well, it goes to both ways. It goes to the prefrontal cortex, which is like the computer in Red Dwarf or Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Very calm, knows everything, not everything, but it's rational. It deals with thoughts. It deals with solutions, mathematical problems, rationality, all of those kinds of things are your prefrontal cortex. That also goes to the amygdala. The amygdala is part of the ancient reptilian brain, the first thing to form, part of the first brain to form in the embryo. And the amygdala is reaction. It's that gut instinct that a reptilian brain, fight or flight, get out of there. It's the amygdala that sends all those signals down to the sympathetic nervous system and the adrenals to either brace you for fighting or brace you for running. So it activates fear. Meditation tends to make you choose the prefrontal cortex before it goes to the amygdala. Because if you are anxious, if you're an anxious person and you choose the amygdala pathways all the time, what happens is the amygdala actually enlarges and the prefrontal cortex gets smaller. So it's kind of not what we want. We really would prefer the prefrontal cortex to get bigger and the amygdala to get smaller. So on a physiological level, that's what happens. On a meditational level, most people that I've struck that say they don't like meditating are expecting too much from their meditation. So if you were to sit there for 5 minutes and they might be a person that is maybe a little bit anxious or hyperactive, sitting in a meditative position and being totally still and trying to meditate and sometimes just be too big and ask. So I would say to those people, perhaps like yourself, if you are a little bit like that, or if for people who tend to be a little bit fidgety or are thinking, I shouldn't be doing this, the meditating going, I really need to put the roast on, or I should be cleaning the house, or what am I sitting here doing this for? Oh, it's so much to do. And all those thoughts going through your head. And people think, oh, I can't meditate because I've got all these thoughts. But this is part of meditation. This is what that is. It's not about turning off your thoughts on day one. Turning off your thoughts, you're probably never going to do. Getting some space between your thoughts is a different matter. And then we start lengthening the space between our thoughts. But I would say to people who tend to be a bit fidgety, just learn to sit on your lounge, if you like, whatever, and don't meditate, but just sit for 5 minutes and don't move anything, except maybe your eyes. Your eyes can look around, but don't move your head, your neck, your body, your fingers, your toes, your legs, and just sit still. And try that for like 5 minutes. And then try it for 10 minutes. And extend it. Because what happens with some people who I've done some studies on this, people who have a lot of anxiety, they know in their head how to calm down, but they can't get it out of their body because their body's stuck in the sympathetic nervous system's reaction and they're finding it hard to cut across to the parasympathetic nervous system, which calms everything down and gets everything back to homeostasis. So one of the best ways to get your parasympathetic kicked in is to just sit still. And your body won't like it, but bear with it for a little while. And then you'll start building neural pathways to the parasympathetic nervous system again. And then it will know that when you sit still, that it has to calm down, it has to go down that pathway now. And it will start, those highways will start getting stronger and stronger. Okay, but with people who think they can't meditate, they're the ones that think, oh, I have to close my eyes and not think of anything. Nothing can be further from the truth. Even monks grapple with that. And I'm not a monk, but, sometimes it will take me an hour before I get to know mind, okay? And I've been meditating for 40 years. And sometimes it just takes that long. If you don't have that long, then that's okay. Sometimes it just might mean that your mind's calming down, or you can just watch your thoughts. That, in a sense, is a meditation as well. Imagine you're sitting in the middle of a theatre and there's a big screen and you're putting all your thoughts on the big screen. And you're watching your thoughts and going, oh, wow, do I really think like that? Wow. And you sit objectively watching your thoughts with no judgment, just looking and watching your thoughts. And then you think to yourself, once you can do that, you can think to yourself, okay, who is it that's actually watching my thoughts? And you'll find that that's not the ego, that's actually the higher self that is watching the thoughts. And if you look at the higher self, you'll find that there is no judgment because it's not what the higher self does. It just doesn't do that. It's just a peaceful place right. to sit while you're watching all the chaos going on the screen. So I would probably suggest people to try that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that's an excellent way. It's an excellent analogy to what are we thinking and why are we thinking this, and to look at it objectively. And, you know, Kat, like I often say, our higher selves, which I also call souls, basically, always know better than we do. You know what I mean? And I urge people to, if they're going to talk to their higher self, ask your higher self the question you most want to know and tell me what you think about this. Like, so if I ask my higher self a question and I hear something come back to me, but I think that I'm making it up because it's me asking the question, what do you think about that? Because I feel like the first thing we hear is really, you know, what our higher self is saying to us is what we're hearing. It's not, we're not making it up. What do you think about that?
There's a difference between a thought and what I call an inspiration. For me, when I get something from my higher self, it feels like it's being dropped through the crown chakra. Like I could be thinking of absolutely nothing and then this thought will come into my head through my crown chakra. That way I know it's my higher self. If I'm pondering or thinking, there's a difference between thought. And practicing that, you start to be able to tell the difference between a thought and a drop in the crown chakra. Have you ever been in the shower where you're not thinking about anything and then something suddenly will pop into your head and you think, where did that come from? Have you ever experienced that?
Yeah.
That's a good example of when you're thinking of nothing and then something pops into your head. That's your higher self talking to you. But it can only talk to you when you're in that state of calm. Actually, that's actually a pretty good idea of people who can't meditate. Have a shower. Get under the water. And when you're thinking of nothing, try and just think of nothing for a couple of minutes. And that is in itself a meditation, shower meditation. Why not?
Right. Well, I actually, when I am in the shower, I'm praying. I pray in the shower.
Oh, okay. There you go. Praying is the other side of meditation. Praying is when you're asking for something. Meditation is when you're waiting for the answer to come back. So the two go together.
Interesting. Yes, you're right. Yeah, right. Thank you. You are just such a cool woman. I wish I was in Australia and I could meet you. Maybe one day I will be. So I hope I will be. Call back probably. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play a song and then I'll wait for her to call back. She'll probably be back momentarily, I'm sure. And then we'll begin to take calls to give readings to. So I'll play a song and we'll be back. And I really appreciate you being here. If anyone in chat is called in for a reading, please let me know your area code. And because I always give preference to the chat attendees before I take the other call. So let me know if you're in chat and I'll pick you up. And okay, and once again, we're with Kathmandu. She's in Australia, and I've got to get her website. I'm not sure what that is. But anyways, okay, so I'm going to play a song, and we will be back. Thank you for being here, you guys. Okay, and that was Grant Lee Buffalo with Fuzzy. I love that song. Okay, we're back with Kathmandu. And Kat, can you tell people where they can find you?
You can find me on Facebook. I'm just in the throes of getting a new website together, so I can't really be found on there at the moment. I tend to kind of, I'm not a huge fan of marketing. I tend to find get people that come to me more through word of mouth and stuff like that. You can find me on Facebook, either through my Evolve Events and Education page, or just my Kathmandu. That's K-A, the little accent T, Mandu. Yeah, it's probably the best place to find me. Or, you know, I'm happy. If you want to email me, you can email me at kat_mandu@live.com. Yeah. So I'm easy to find if you want. I don't kind of broadcast myself.
Right. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. I mean, it is mostly word of mouth. I mean, word of mouth is everything, really, you know. Okay, so Kat, as we're going to begin to take phone calls, what would you like to hear from the person? You know, I mean, do you need anything from them, or should they just say their name and where they're from, or how would you like to do it?
I'll do a brief. How many people are we looking at? How should I split up the time? Is it just a question?
I say you can give each person about 6 minutes.
Yeah, that's okay. Yep, sure.
Okay.
If they just give me their name and their question, I'll just do a quick throw for them and see what happens there.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so the first call we have is 917-627. Who do we have?
Hey, how you doing? My name is Tim, and I'm calling from New York. How are you guys doing tonight?
Okay, how are you doing?
I am good. I am well.
Good. Okay, so did you have a question, Tim?
Yes. Yes, I certainly did. I'm on and off with the meditation for the better of many years. I'm trying to buckle down and get the spirit connection, hoping to strengthen it. And, you know, I have some intuition. I have some major issues, so that makes the breathing and the deep breathing a problem, but I'm working on that with the doctor. But I did listen. You gave some great tips to meditation. What I've been doing is, sorry for such ranting, I've been just asking my spirit guides and archangels for assistance in just bringing some new things in. Do they hear me? Am I doing it right? It's just I try to set the intention before I go to sleep, say my little prayers, my little spiel, and then meditate for a few minutes and go to sleep. Any tips or words of spirit, greatly appreciated.
You wanting to know if you're meditating correctly, is that what you're asking? I'm a bit confused with what you're actually asking.
Okay, yeah. That's exactly kind of what I'm asking. If I'm doing it correctly, if I'm setting these intentions, asking for archangels, and then trying to empty my mind, which doesn't really work, yes, I guess I was asking if I'm going about it correctly. I'm still reading and trying different things.
Okay. As we kind of said a little bit earlier, just doing the emptying your mind can be a bit tricky, depending on how much your mind, what the state of your particular mind is at a default level. If you've got a mind that's really active no matter what, if you're a relatively anxious sort of or go, go, go kind of person, it could be hard to calm it down. If you're a calm person, it might be easier. Either way, can I ask you, have you any idea how many times a minute you breathe?
I have no idea.
Okay. Do you breathe slowly or do you breathe quickly?
It's kind of slowly because I'm very congested, so it's definitely a slow thing.
Okay. Are you getting enough oxygen?
I certainly am not. But I'm taking some steroids from a doctor. And I got a CT scan scheduled, but it's very inflamed, so that's a problem.
Okay,
right, so
you're breathing more through your mouth, do you think?
I can try, but don't get really dry, but I've been trying more through the mouth, yes.
Okay. All right. But what I'm trying to get at is, you know, how many breaths, if you're doing, most people breathe about 14 breaths a minute. Okay. When you're in Zen monks and turtles will breathe about 4 times a minute. So there's a lot of holding in the retention. If you want to try as a breathing meditation, a circular breath meditation to slow breathing down, and you can do this through your mouth if you can't breathe through your nose, that's fine. So if you just breathe in for the count of 4, hold for the count of 4, breathe out for the count of 4, and hold for the count of 4. And you can do that on any number you like. You can expand it later if you want to slow it down even more. But if you breathe in for 4, hold for 4, breathe out for 4, hold for 4. And I'm talking 1, 2, 3, 4. Not 1, 2, 3, 4. So 1, 2, 3, 4. So about 4 seconds, okay? Hold for 4. So then we've got a 16-minute breath, okay? And if you try that, that will slow down your breathing to about 4 times or 5 times a minute. If that's a bit much for you, then just breathe in for 2, hold for 2, breathe out for 2, hold for 2. That will still get your breathing right down. Once you get your breathing down and at a default level, because you get used to doing that over time, it will calm you down and will help with your meditation. So if you're one of the first meditation exercises I used to do was just imagine, just close your eyes, see your black screen of your mind, and imagine a very thin line of white light through the middle of it, and just focus on that line of white light. If you see a thought coming across this black screen, just sweep it to the side. Could be either side, could be across, and just sweep it to the side, sweep it to the side, and just try and focus on that line of very thin white light. And do that for about 5 minutes, and you can just expand that to 10 minutes. It's more of a concentration exercise, but we do need to concentrate to a point to be able to meditate correctly. So hope that helps. Is there anything else I can clarify for you?
No. You've been a tremendous help. You're doing some great things to do. I really appreciate it.
No problem at all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Okay, take it easy. Okay. Okay, so the next caller we have is 520. Hello.
Hello, this is Lisa. Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the discussion. Thank you for having the discussion as well. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome.
Is it okay to ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Lisa.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm calling about a guy, and the last time I was face-to-face with him was the second week in March. And at that time, he had told me, you know, he wanted the relationship. He told me several times that we were involved for like 2 months, I think, and it came out of the blue, the relationship, and I had left a 20-year relationship, and it just happened between us, an intimacy. And so I basically was very clumsy and awkward and said things to him. I'm sorry, I regret it. I deeply regret it. And I, you know, just said I wasn't sure that I wanted the relationship. And I haven't heard from him. I've reached out to him. He lives about 7, 8, 10, 12 miles away from me. And I've, you know, in April, I left a message, asked if he works in a particular industry, if I needed help. I never heard back. And then I sent him a card at the beginning of this month just saying, thinking about you, hope you're okay. If you want to talk, give me a call. And I haven't heard from him. His name is Aaron. Any connection with him?
Okay, let me have a look for you, Lisa. What's your star sign?
Virgo.
And do you know what Aaron's is?
I know he's born in August. I'm not sure what part of August.
Okay, so he could be a Leo or a Virgo. How long have you been out of this 20-year relationship?
This January, and it almost immediately happened between me and Aaron. Maybe, I don't know, the end of January, I guess.
Does this man have a wisdom about him that really attracted him to you?
Well, yeah. We were... He has two different jobs, and the job that I hired him for is to help me. He was helping my former relationship person, and then I hired him to help me. And we worked together side by side 4 to 6 hours a day. And then we started having intimacy. And the side that I saw to him was kind, caring, considerate, very attentive. And I just didn't recognize what it was until toward the end of our working together. And then I became aware of his interest.
There is a small connection here. It's a short one.
I'm sorry?
There is a soul connection here, but it's a short one in this instance. And it was a sudden connection, wasn't it? It's quite sudden how it all came together. He seems to be a bit quirky, or are you a bit quirky?
Maybe both of us. I know I'm very quirky.
Another thing that's attracted you to him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Somebody would have to be quirky to hang out with me.
He offered you something that was healing to you at the time, and he's offered you a lot of love. But for possibly the reason that I'm getting that he feels uncomfortable because he knew your ex, that he's walked away from this. But he hasn't, it's been hard for him to do that, to detach, but he's felt that he could help, he's helped you all that he could, and that he's had to detach from you. Some people that we meet come into our lives for a reason, season, or a lifetime. I feel he's a reason guy. That he reaffirmed for you that you are lovable, that you're beautiful, and that you're worthy. And believe me, there are women that come out of long-term relationships that never get that validation, and they never feel that they're attractive enough. He came in quite early to make you feel like that, and I think that's a real, for me personally, I would love that. I think that's a great thing. But you need to probably take it for what it is. It's an interim relationship, is the one where you find your feet from the old going into the new. He's like the in-between guy. And he thinks of you very fondly. He has lots of love for you, but at this point, it's probably just not a good idea for you to be together. Maybe down the track, when you've maybe been with some, had some other relationships and you've re-established yourself as a formidable woman and not a wife and mother and getting back to Lisa, if you know what I mean, which is very, very attractive to men, by the way, when you're not jumping out of one relationship into another, you're sort of playing pogo stick. You're finding your feet in between and growing strong. And I think that's what you need to do at the moment. And he kind of knows that that's what you need to do. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. Thank you.
That's okay. Good luck.
Thank you.
And he really has given you some healing. And just take those beautiful things that you had together and expand on that so that you will be a better person for the next person that comes along as well.
Okay, thanks much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Lisa.
Bye.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so the next caller we have is 651. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Tatiana. Hi, this is Tatiana.
I'm sorry, I can't. Tatiana.
Christiana.
I'm sorry. Okay. Do you have a question?
Yeah. Sometimes when I'm in bed resting, I'll hear like a voice really loud in my ear and like saying hello or something like that. And I'm just wondering, is that just my own mind or is it a spirit or do you know maybe what's going on there?
Sorry, you get a what in your ear?
Like a loud voice.
A loud voice.
Saying like hello or like hey, how are you doing or something like that. You know, and then I'm just wondering like what do you think that is? Is it just my own mind or?
No. Which ear is it? Is it your left ear?
I think it's my right ear.
Your right ear. Is it a female voice or a male voice?
Both.
Is there a distinction of whether it's a female or male voice?
Lately, I think it's been male.
Okay. And they're just saying, hi, how are you kind of thing?
Pretty much, just greeting me or like checking in on me or something.
How do you feel when this happens?
Sometimes I'm a little irritated because it's usually when I'm, like, really relaxed and I'm, like, maybe trying to sleep or something. But you know, I think I'm mostly curious.
Well, it definitely feels like a spirit guide to me or an angel. I'm seeing a blonde man, so it could be an angel. Have you ever lengthened the conversation? Or has it just been like, hello, and I'm, how are you, kind of, that's been the extent of it?
Pretty much, yeah, lately. I've been wondering if I should engage her.
Well, don't be afraid of it. Have you had any other experiences like this, like when you were a kid or anything?
Not that I recall. I mean, I know I was a pretty hard, well, I don't know if hardcore is the right word, but I was like a, I was a Christian for many years, so, like, we were taught that that kind of stuff was bad.
Yeah.
And stuff. So, it didn't really open up, start to open up for me until later in life, late 20s.
Does it frighten you?
You know, I usually think it would when it would happen, but actually when it happens, I'm not scared.
Okay, try extending the conversation with this being. I don't feel they're a negative being. If they are a true spirit guide, and you're getting this through when you're relaxed, so your mind is relaxed, your conscious mind is down and your unconscious mind is open, and you're able to receive these things a little bit clearer. But if you extend the conversation, ask them who they are. They'll tell you who they are. And if they've got anything to tell you, if they start, but remember what we talked about earlier, if you were with us earlier when we were talking about lower astral entities and things, if you start saying negative things, then you'll have to question if it's legit. But if he's got honest information that comes from love, then he's definitely a spirit guide. I'm feeling that it's more a spirit guide. I'm also feeling you're quite an evolved being yourself, so which would be why he would be coming through to you. So don't be afraid, and just know that you don't have to talk to him if you don't want to. You can tell him to go away if he's negative. But if he's got a message for you, then definitely could be somebody. Have you lost a brother or a male, a young male?
Yeah.
Is it a brother or a son?
I lost a son about 6 years ago, and then a brother when I was very young.
Okay. I'd say it's one of those. They're trying to contact you. So,
my son is
your son was blonde?
With big blue eyes, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm getting an S name. Is anyone, did it start with an S?
No.
Okay.
No. No, it's Taylor. That's my son.
Okay. It could well be him. So sometimes they will present themselves to you as a man, if they passed over as a child, for example. But you'll be able to meditate on him. See, let him present his face to you. He will show himself. And don't be afraid. This is a beautiful thing. You're very lucky.
Yeah.
I have a son on the other side as well. And sometimes I'll call him. And it was the anniversary of his death, actually, on the 20th of June. And I called him, and I said, "Where are you? Are you still there?" And he said, in my ear, he said, "I'm right here, Mum." Same Aussie accent as me. So it was very comforting. It's very comforting when your child comes through. So don't be afraid of it. And,
okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
Good luck with that.
I light a candle for him a lot by his picture.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Okay, love.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so the next caller we have is 515. Hello?
Hi, this is, hello, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
Great. I have some pretty amazing people on the other side, and I was just wondering if any of them were stronger or coming forward or have any messages for me.
What's your name?
What's your name?
My name is Stephanie.
Stephanie. Thanks, Stephanie.
Let me just have a look here. What's your star sign, Stephanie?
I'm a Libra.
Okay. Do you have a parent on the other side?
I do not.
Is it a grandmother?
I do have a grandmother on the other side.
I'm getting a strong female. Two strong females.
That's possible.
Are they both grandmothers, or is there an aunt, someone younger, and an older woman?
I have a grandmother and then a couple of great aunts. But most of the people that I've lost are actually male that I was close to.
Okay, it's the women that are coming forward. I'm just taking the grandmother first.
I just lost my grandma about a year and a half ago.
Are you at a very low point in your life right now?
A very what?
Low point in your life.
I'd say so, yeah. Pretty stressful.
Yeah. Did this grandmother do a lot of baking?
She did, yes.
I'm seeing her in a kitchen with an apron and flour all over the place. Did you help her at all when you were a kid?
Occasionally. Not often.
She's showing me like cookies or tarts or something like that. She used to like really love to bake.
She did, yeah. She always had sweets around, homemade stuff around.
She's do you have? Are you a redhead or like light strawberry blonde?
No.
Is there a girl in the family with strawberry blonde hair?
No.
Okay. The gist of what she's telling me is you have a special talent and you're not using it. Why aren't you using it? Do you paint or something? Is there something that you do?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very artsy. I love to paint and draw and write. I just don't have time.
She's saying make time. This is your gift to the world. Make time for your gift. This is why you're here.
Okay. That makes sense.
So Is it paint or drawing you do? I'm seeing
more
an
drawing than painting.
She said the low point that you're at is partly because you haven't got another outlet. You're just working and doing everything that's expected of you to do, and you're living up to everybody else's expectations, but you're not living up to your own. You put yourself on the back burner. She's showing me the stove. You put yourself on the back burner, she's saying. You're putting everybody else ahead.
That makes complete sense, definitely.
Okay, Steph, you need to get the pencils out again, darling.
I certainly will. And I was thinking, and my grandma, when she was young, she had red hair.
Okay.
So that makes sense now.
It's not like bright red hair. I'm seeing her in plaits, so this is an aspect of her as well. So she had like these strawberry blonde plaits. Very, very cute. And I think she's showing me that this is a part of you. You're a bit like that little girl. You remind her of you when you were little. You reminded her of her when she was little. God, there's a lot of pronouns in that. Sorry. But darling, you've got to get back to the art. And just be the best you can be. And if people are asking for your help or for you to do this, to do that, when it comes to your art time, just say, no, I can't help you. Give yourself an hour a day if you possibly
can.
Give yourself an hour a day.
I think I will. I definitely think I should. Thank you.
You're welcome. Does that help?
Definitely, yes. Thank you very much.
No worries. You have a good night.
Thanks.
You too.
Yeah, thanks, Stephanie.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Caller we have is a Skype caller. It's 1111. Who do we have?
Hi, ladies. I got in. I've been listening to the show from the beginning, and I'm so fascinating. Ma'am, I wish I could do the cards, but it's a lot of learning and kind of be really good, and you're really good. I am a Scorpio, water sign, and my name is Melissa. And my rising sign is Scorpio again. And so I have a question that I had a job where I was working about three weeks ago, and I was told to go because there was a situation that had to be fixed, the question is, my boss, his name is Dave, has been calling me every day for a week now. I didn't answer the phone because I don't know. I'm not going to I'll probably call him back on Sunday or Monday, but I'm not sure what that is all about. I don't know if he's giving me good news or I hope it's good news. I'm in the hello zone. No idea. I don't want to go back to work. I don't know if I'm going back in the same location or going to a different location. But he's not human resources. That's why I was. Anyway, relationship with just professionalism. No other type of relationships or thinking like that. I just want to make that clear.
Yeah. Okay. So why were you put off from this job through COVID or?
I've been gone for 3.5 weeks now because there was three females made a complaint about me, three females. They were going to check that out. I'm going to a security right now, getting checked, and the hire that's doing my check, they're not very pleased that I'm not there working. They're not very pleased at all. and they didn't. So they're gonna person start checking because nobody's talking. And I said to her and him, I don't know. They said because I was assigned to them and because of what my knowledge, they're going to do a special thing to check even further. So I don't know what's going on. I'm sorry?
Wait, are you in middle management?
I'm kind of, yeah. Not like 100%, but I do have a lot of saying. But I don't have.
So were these women assigned to you on your team, or were you assigned to them, and were they higher up than you?
I was assigned by the higher ups, like the higher ups, what runs this country.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're not pleased because I'm not there. They didn't like it.
Yeah. You're a truth teller.
What does that mean?
It means you're telling the truth about something at work that you shouldn't be telling the truth about. And they don't like that. Did you shed light on something that was not being done correctly?
On which one?
Was there somebody that wasn't doing something correctly?
They're not doing something correctly where I was. Yes, they're not.
And did you call them out on it?
Yes, but I told the boss. I haven't told anybody else, just him.
Well, I think wind's got back to other people, and it's not something that you're being judged for this. Okay, so they're making it out that you've got the problem because you're speaking out. Were you in a team of 5 people?
Yes, with two men and 3 females, and one of the men was close to me, and they have contacted him, like, and he has said positive things about me, and I don't know how they figure out that we're like in a team, like cooperation, but we wouldn't. Anyway, I go ahead. You got it. I stopped talking.
I think it's going to be okay. So take my man's call.
Well, what do I do?
Do you want to go back?
Yes.
Well, then go back. Take his call. If he's giving you an update, then you need to hear what they're saying. So I've got all positive things here that I'm feeling about it. I think any of the anxiety or the angst is passing. But, you know, you tend to get a bit overwhelmed, don't you?
Yes, I got very upset about the situation. My exam,
yeah.
You're right about that, like very upset, but I, in a polite manner, it hurt me.
Yeah, that would hurt anybody, definitely. And you have a right to be hurt, and you have a right to express how you feel. You know what I mean?
So what do I do? Well, what are you seeing?
I'm seeing that you'll be fine, you'll get your job back. It may not be that particular role. They may put you somewhere else. But come the next 3 weeks, after 3 weeks, or if you go back before 3 weeks, there might be a hiccup, a slight hiccup, but after that, everything else will be okay.
Oh, wow. So
are you looking,
there is,
are you looking for other work? Are you looking for another job?
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I am for
be,
times people.
Yeah. But either way, you're going to be employed and be happy. Because you're very good at what you do.
It looks really good.
Yeah, it looks fine. Don't worry.
So is the boss calling me because they're giving me an opportunity?
He can give you an opportunity. The situation may not completely be healed if you go back, but don't be afraid to take another role. In fact, this could be a good opportunity for you to renegotiate. If you've got another role that somebody else wants you, you can say, oh, I mightn't come back because I've got these guys that have actually want me to start with them. They're offering me X, can you do better? Be a good chance for you to renegotiate your pay.
Oh, wow. And real quickly, the who is investigating my background, are they, like, what are you seeing that? Am I going to pass it? Because they told me they're almost complete with my getting already cleared.
They're
right.
trying
no,
to
Leslie,
make a problem.
You gotta hurry up.
I'm feeling like they're blaming you for something.
I'm sorry, the last thing. Yes.
So I'm feeling like they're blaming you for something that really wasn't your fault.
Okay.
So,
Yeah.
Keep this made out and give yourself some options by applying for other work. Give yourself some options and strengthen your position because if they're wanting you back, you've got the power and you've got to maintain your power. If you're wanting your job back, then they've got the power. You know what I mean? It's important to have your power. So stack the odds in your corner. Apply for other work. There are other people, other departments that will take you. And have your options open so that you've got more power. The more power you have, the more you'll climb the hierarchy, the more you'll be in demand. Okay?
Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Bye-bye. Okay. So if you want to reach out to Kat, check her out on Facebook, Kat Mandu. K-A apostrophe at the top, T, Mandu, M-A-N-D-U, and you can book a reading with her if you guys want, and it's well worth it, I promise you. Okay, so the next caller we have is 504. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Debbie.
Hi.
Hello. It was kind of funny. The lady right in front of me sounded a little bit like me, but not exactly.
Okay.
So what's your question?
I would like to know if you see me with a healing career. I've been told I'm a healer. But I don't know how to go about it.
What sort of healing are you doing?
I learned Reiki, and apparently just my presence will do that. I'm laughing because, not laughing, but the lady before, I had the very same situation that I told the truth, and the company doesn't want to lose me, but I'm in another company. So they want to move me somewhere else, which isn't even, under contract yet. So I'm kind of in the same situation she was, but not exactly, because if something else comes up, I would wonder if it's time just to go, like, you know, and start my my spiritual work. Maybe, I might have been doing it. I don't know.
Okay. Well, first thing I'd say, even without reading you, is if you want to heal and you're driven to heal, then at least start it up. It'll take a while to make a living at it. So you'd need to have a job that you can maybe do and do your healing maybe on your Saturday or in the evening or something like that. Okay. Have you got a place you can do that at home?
Not at the moment. I move, my mother moved in at the pandemic, so I'm pretty, you know, tight right now.
Yeah.
I have a
yeah.
friend that could lend me her office, though.
Okay. Sometimes, I know here in Australia, we have healing centres where people can sort of rent a room for X amount of dollars per week and just bring their clients into there. Do you have anything like that in your area?
Yeah, actually.
So that might
I
be a place to start.
If it was really what I'm supposed to do, because like the lady before, my company wants me back, but I was actually banned. So I don't know if it was legal, and they're getting lawyers and all kind of stuff. And I'm just like, geez, how, you know, really, like you said, telling the truth gets you a lot of flack. But I just learned to use my voice, and it created a big stir.
Look, it's amazing how the universe will move you around from where you're supposed to be. Let me tell you a very quick story about something that happened to me. We had a couple of years ago, in 2019, we had really, really bad bushfires. I don't know if you heard of them over there.
Mm-hmm.
Poor koalas and kangaroos were dying out by thousands. Losing their homes, and just horrible, horrible stuff that was going on. I actually got a casual job for 2 weeks with the government to process grants that were going for people who were in the bushfires. And I went along and I did the first day of training. And, you know, they give you, you're sitting at the computer, you're doing the trial program and learning your way around the computer. And it was all fine. And I got in there for my shift the next day, and this woman comes up to me and she said, don't unpack, this role is not for you. But when she said this role is not for you, I knew it wasn't her that was speaking. It was like it was Source that was speaking, or a higher power. And even in that moment when I was absolutely stunned and thought, what the hell have I done? I haven't done anything. It was the universe pushing me out of that role, saying, how many times do we have to tell you you're not supposed to be doing this work? And that was the last
yeah.
time I ever applied for any job like this, and I've been doing this full-time pretty much ever since, and I've just never been happier. Even though I've got a lot less money, I'm happier and I'm freer. But the universal, you know, if you're a bit thick like I was,
mm-hmm.
it will pull you out of those roles. And the truth tellers
okay.
are always the ones who shine the light. Because when you've reached a particular level of spirituality, those incongruencies just don't sit right. You can't be authentic and accept some of those things that are going on. And you just go, no, this is just all the hairs on my back of my neck are standing up, or I can't go with this. Every fibre of my being is opposing this.
Yeah.
And when you get to that point and you get that knot in your solar plexus, when you get up in the morning, you think, oh, shit, I've got to go to work, you know, and you just feel sick about it, that's when you know you've got to leave. That's when your soul is so cramped
yeah.
in this completely...
It was an individual, though.
Yeah, there's a very, very negative... around you at the moment is just all this anxiety, all this negativity, and, like, you're not sleeping well, you're not eating well. It's bothered
right.
you, really bothered you. Yet there's really no
yeah.
reason... To be made to feel like this. So you just kind of taken a step back.
Okay.
Yeah.
I walked out Wednesday.
Yeah. And it was a good thing. Have you got a lump sum of money on its way? Are they paying you out or anything?
No. In fact, they owe me some bonuses, and I'm going to turn those in. They want me to stay with them at another location. This will be very interesting, you know, if they get rid of the toxic person, even if I don't go back. I'm kind of watching the next couple of weeks what they do, you know, because the lady that that stepped in, the who had told me to use my voice, is really a good person, but she stepped into a bad situation. So it would be interesting to see if it is cleaned up. Not that I would go back to that location, but maybe another location.
There's a lot of gossip where you are. A lot of people talking behind each other's backs. And there's another boy on his way out, or a young man on his way out as well. Was that the person that was causing the problem?
No. I mean, I know a guy that's been speaking the truth, a young man. I hope it's not him, because I didn't tell him I left because I didn't want him to stop the good fight, you know, the telling the truth.
He may be deciding to leave. Look, don't worry about him. He'll find something else as well. He's off.
Yeah,
he's going to go off his heart. Anyway, you've got all these opportunities. Healing. Have you had an experience with cancer in your life? Either yourself or someone close to you? This is why you want to be a healer? Yeah.
No, cancer is a scary one. My dad has cancer right now, and he's passing. But the one thing that is, you know, frightening, because even another healer told me that, it's just one that is, you know, I don't know how to describe it. Tricky. Very tricky.
Yeah. Well,
he wouldn't
cancer.
Listen to me, even anyway. He wouldn't listen to me anyway, but, you know, like I try to help my mom's cat with cancer, and I did some natural healing things, and the tumor fell off, but once the tumor fell off, it spread, and I didn't realize it's in the cells. You have to heal the cells. You can't just cut the tumor off, you know? And I've helped a lot of people with different ailments, but that's the one that I hate to say the word scares me. But it does, you know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, with cancer, people who end up with cancer, there's two ways you can get cancer: by taking on somebody else's karma, or by just basting in a negativity of resentment and unforgiveness. So happy people that end up with cancer usually consciously or unconsciously take on someone else's karma, and they're burning it up for them. A lot of souls do things like that. And you look at souls like disabled kids and coming through, disabled people. They basically put their karma on hold so that their carers can speed theirs up. It's an agreement that they make before they come over. So was your dad a calm sort of person, or do you know which one he would have fit into?
My dad with cancer? It started with kidney, but he is a very negative person, and his wife is very negative. And I'm actually not spending a lot of time because I'm an empath, and it really wears me down.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
So that's happened there. He's just got really negative, you basically start eating yourself. That's what cancer is. Cells start eating themselves because of the self-hatred and all of that stuff that just builds in momentum over decades if you don't address it or don't recognize it. And he would have had liver issues because he's contained a lot of anger to start with.
Yeah.
And that anger that he hasn't got out of his body has just started eating at him. He's probably been the type of person that has been told not to express his anger, which is the worst thing you can do. There are many ways to express anger. If not yelling at somebody, fine, fair enough. But you can get a bucket of water and stick your face in it and scream. You can punch something. When I split my ex-husband, I had the mother-in-law from hell. And I remember one time I literally got a photo of her and I stuck it on a dartboard and I threw darts at it. She kept
He was a very violent person, though. So it seems like he would have got it out, but maybe that was not the right way.
No.
He was very angry, like alcoholic.
Yeah. So you wanting to go down a healing path is not surprising for children of parents like that, toxic parents, because you're trying to stop the cycle in your own way.
But is it wrong? Like, should if I'm just heal and move on, like, should I just let it go, basically?
Let him go?
Let him go, but the healing, this want to help everyone.
Well, that depends on how much of yourself you're giving. And you kind of got to look at, your energy is a bit like your bank account. You don't want to give it all away. You end up with nothing yourself. You know, we have a cosmic bank account, an energy bank account. Sometimes if we're feeling low, we need to fill up. So we do a meditation where we're drawing down energy and filling up our aura, and that helps us if we're feeling depleted. Unfortunately, with nice people who like to help people all the time, the more they give, the more others take.
Yeah.
And you can end up attracting, because you've also been in a very narcissistic, toxic family of origin, you tend to possibly meet people with that dynamic because it's familiar to you. And you want to help them the way you want to help your father, but you can't help your father, so you think, and you probably, have you attracted alcoholics or people with problems into your life?
I had, and it stopped. Like, the current guy that I'm with is the first one that's broken the pattern, because every other relationship I had was a cheater and an alcoholic, and I just said no more. And I finally, and I'm midlife, got a nice guy. I'm scared to get married, though.
No, but it's not easy to break those patterns. And sometimes the only way to break those patterns is to say, well, I'm not going to be with anybody that's like the last type. I'm just going to stay on my own until a nice guy comes in or a nice person comes in. Yeah.
I was alone for a very long time.
Going spiritual cold turkey. So no, that's good, Deborah. You've managed to do that. As far as your work goes, you'll be an asset to anywhere you work. I've only got positive cards here for you, but do the healing. I'm seeing you starting something up at least within the 6 month mark.
Okay.
Even if it's finding a place to do it, inquiring and starting up a little website to let people know what you're doing. And good luck with it all.
Don't what?
I said good luck.
Good luck.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I enjoyed this
very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. All right. You're welcome. Okay. You're doing a fantastic job, Kat, I got to tell you. Yeah, you're welcome. Gee, and I'm not easily impressed, believe me.
Is there anyone else?
Hello?
Hi.
Can you hear me? Hi.
Hi.
Kareen, can you hear me? She may have stepped away. Hi. Okay, my name is Beth. I have a question that pertains to, I've been trying like for the last, I don't know, half hour or so to kind of formulate the question. My stepfather passed away this past November, and mainly what I'm wondering is if he's been having any interactions with my mom and maybe my sister, if he's been visiting them, bothering them, anything like that.
like he wasn't the nicest person on the planet.
Yeah.
He is trying to get through to somebody. He's actually come through with you.
Yeah.
Because
he's
been trying to push somebody into seeing somebody so that he could ask forgiveness, really.
Okay. That makes sense.
He's just saying, I did a lot of things wrong. And if I could do it all again, I'd do it different. But I can't. So I'm sorry. Does that make sense?
I'm writing
sense
this down
to you?
Too. Sorry.
Was he a countryman? Like, was there a farm connection or a land connection?
He was just kind of a hillbilly.
Yeah, I'm seeing him in overalls.
Yeah, maybe not in the last few years, but definitely, you know, years ago when I was smaller and he was younger.
He's got like a blue and red check shirt on.
That's interesting.
But he's standing outside the front of an old house. So whether this is how he lived or where he is now, he's just basically, he just said, I made a mess of things. Was he violent?
Yes.
Was he an alcoholic?
Yes.
Okay. So the issues that he had that in his teenage years and his family of origin, he was beaten up himself by the look of it.
Okay.
He didn't have a very good family. So
right.
Sometimes abused becomes the abuser.
Yep.
And he didn't have a lot of people around him when he died. Didn't have a lot
absolutely
of people.
Yeah, he was alone, actually.
And he realized that he really stuffed things up. And he looked back on his life. Now that he's looked back on his life, he feels a lot of shame. But the alcohol just made everything go away, he said.
Yeah.
And he did that at the age of 16 or 17.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kept going because it just took the problems away.
That makes all kinds of sense. Wow.
So he has been trying to contact your mother, particularly. He's trying to rattle curtains and blinds and push things over, but new spirits who haven't passed over very long, takes them a little while to get the knack of actually pushing something physically over because their hand goes right through it. So they have to learn like a meditation kind of technique to actually focus and get themselves to push something over. Actually, speaking of that, my mother pushed her photo over and broke the photo that I have of her and my dad because I found some information out about my family of origin that made me quite upset. And I said, I'm not talking to any of you for the time being. And I've pushed them all away. And all of a sudden, this picture just went smash. And I went, yeah, Mum, I know it's you. I'm still not talking to you.
Wow.
And she's been gone about 30 years and she's never actually pushed anything before, so it's taken her a while, but she let me know that she could do it now, so yeah.
Wow.
So he's trying to let his presence be felt. He really did care for your mother. You just had a very strange way of showing it. And again, that short fuse where, you know, his buttons were pushed and he'd just react because his amygdala was on fire and his prefrontal cortex was totally shrunk with the booze. So unfortunately, you don't get a lot of reason and thought processing going through with these types of people.
Right, right, exactly.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
So
it makes a lot of sense. And the main reason that I'm asking is because my mother's been pretty distraught lately because she thinks that he is trying to get her to join him. She's not in the best health. So, and I told her, you know, I just kind of want to put her mind at ease. I don't think that's something that he would be doing.
No, but I mean, your mother can just tell him to clear off.
Yeah, that, well, you know, I told her, I said, just tell him to go away.
Yeah.
And actually, one of her nurse, she's actually in the hospital right now after knee surgery, and one of her nurses told her, her nurse is from Haiti, and the nurse told her to start wearing black underpants because that will keep him away.
Oh, that's interesting. I haven't heard that.
I've never heard that.
Well, that must be a thing. Okay. Is it your mother's right knee?
You know what? I'm not actually sure. She's going to eventually get them both replaced, but I'm not sure which one she just got replaced.
Okay. Because knees are an inability to move forward. And right knee is usually to do with a male, left knee usually to do with a female.
Ah.
So knees and hips and ankles done, it's usually an inability to move forward with somebody or something or move past the hurt of somebody or something.
Wow.
That is, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I hadn't really considered that. Cool.
Yeah. So, Kat, can I ask you, me and Beth, who's on the phone right now, me and Beth have a friend named Lisa that's dying from cancer, and she's been hanging on for a long time. She's been hanging on for, like, months now, right, Beth?
Yeah, months.
So,
is she waiting?
What is going on? What's that?
Is she waiting for somebody? Is someone stuck overseas? Is she hanging on for somebody?
No. No, there's no one she's waiting for.
Well, she doesn't want to go.
Right.
She doesn't want to go. Let me have a look.
Okay, thank you.
Is she in a relationship?
She's married, but her husband is in a full-time facility care.
Okay. Did he cheat on her?
Probably.
What's that? Oh, I didn't know that. Sorry.
She said, did he cheat on her? And I think probably he did.
Yeah, he did. He did. But she really doesn't care about him very much.
Right.
There's something she needs to resolve, though. Maybe it's her not being able to forgive him. She's worried that if she passes over with unforgiveness, that it's not going to put her in a good place. So maybe if you guys can help her move through just some forgiveness that she needs to do, it may help her to release and move forward.
Okay, she's barely talking right now and she's sleeping probably 98% of the time. So I don't know how we would do that, but I know her mother's there waiting for her. But it's just kind of, we're just puzzled by it, you know?
Even the doctor is puzzled by it.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling that this is sort of what's stopping her. If she's almost comatose, which sounds like she almost is, you can ask her higher self if you can work on her behalf, and you'll get a clear yes or a no. You can do it with a pendulum if you want a clear yes or a no. and just ask if she minds you helping her heal through these forgiveness things or anything else that you feel can come up for her. You can do that, can't you, Corinne? You're a healer. So
yeah, I can do that. I think you're right. She doesn't want to go. She doesn't want to go.
Well, she's not.
She had so many plans and so much.
But unfortunately, she will get to a point where she'll know that she's going to have to go. And if you can help her to just move through and transmute some of that unforgiveness and just letting her feel a bit better about the disconnect of her body and moving on to seeing those loved ones on the other side, and she'll probably feel a whole lot better about that.
Right. Okay, yeah, you're right. Okay, so we're at the 2-hour mark. Kat, do you have to go now? Because there's other people on hold for a reading, but if you have to go, I understand.
I probably should go. I do have to be somewhere. But I'm happy to come back another time.
Oh, great. Because I definitely want to have you back. You just were, I got to tell you, you are excellent. You are excellent. And I so much appreciate you coming on tonight.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed it, actually.
Good. So everyone, we've been listening to Kathmandu. That's K-A-T, Mandu, M-A-N-D-U. And she's on Facebook. You can look her up and find out how you can get an appointment with her, because she is phenomenal. I love her. So I hope that they take advantage of that. And we will have you on again, I hope. And thank you so much. I'm going to stay on because I want to give these last few people a reading, and I'll stay on with Beth, and we'll try to do as good as you did.
you've always helped me out when I've needed another pair of eyes. So you know, you're pretty bloody good yourself.
thank you. Okay, thank you so much, Kat, and I'll talk to you very soon, and have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, darling. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Kat.
Bye.
Okay. Bye. Okay, she was awesome, huh?
Oh, my goodness. I'm
She's
so thankful
awesome.
For that information. You don't even know.
I bet. I mean, she surprised me because I didn't really know her. She came to me for a reading, and I helped her, and I was like, she told me that she also was a psychic medium, and I was like, wow. And so she was really, you know, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised. So that was good.
Awesome.
So, Beth, are you ready? Are you ready to give a couple more readings here?
Yeah, I will give it my best.
Okay. And you always do, and I appreciate you being here. Trust me. Okay, so I don't know who this is. 270. Who do we have?
Hello. My name is Joy.
Hi, Joy.
Okay, I wanted to ask, could I get any messages from Spirit?
Yeah, the first thing I'm hearing is Ron or Ronald. Does that name mean anything to you?
Not that I can think of, Ronald.
This gentleman is like, he's showing me, what he's got a hat on. It's like a cap. He's older. When he passed, he was probably in his 70s or 80s.
Okay.
And he's like, he's singing a song. Like, he likes music. He likes to listen to music. Let me see. He says you like music, too. It's important to you. You, like, always put on music. Yeah. Does that make any sense to you, like, the guy that I'm talking about?
I think I may know one, but I definitely music all day, every day, so yes.
Okay. He's saying something about also a job that you have or you're going to get. You're not positive about it. You're not sure about it. You're like kind of on the fence about if you want to do it or you don't want to do it. But he says you're excellent with people. You're excellent with people. And he says any position you get into is going to be great because you know how to deal with people. You understand the emotions and, you know, kind of personality quirks of people where no one, you know, a lot of other people don't understand that. Okay. Let me see. There's also a woman that I'm seeing. She was younger. She was maybe, I'm thinking she was in her 50s or 60s when she died. And I know that might sound old, but to me it's not old. She was very particular about her dress, the way she dressed. She would always, like, if she could put a flower somewhere, she would put a flower in her hair or in her suit or something like that. She knew your mother. She knew your mother. I'm trying to figure out who she is. She's showing me a playground or something by where you lived. Like she was there. She watched you or something. Does that make sense?
It could be my grandmother.
Okay. How old was she when she died?
I believe she was in, like, maybe almost 60.
Okay. She says she said, this is how she put it, you have a good head on your shoulders. Like, you know what time it is, basically. She said she makes good decisions. She doesn't always know exactly, but she's got that feeling for making good decisions. She knows which way to go. Okay. Was she, do you know if your grandmother was into the Bible?
Yes, very much.
Okay. So she's like holding out a Bible. Okay. And I'm not sure who, it's not your grandmother saying this, but it's somebody else. It's a younger woman that you were friends with that you lost. I think, like a friend. She's saying something about a gentleman that you're involved with or a gentleman that you know. And she's kind of like saying, like she's wagging her finger, like don't trust what they're doing. I don't know what that means. Is there something like that in your life? Like there's a gentleman
yes.
there?
Yeah.
Okay. She's like, don't trust, you know, you see with your own eyes what he's doing, and you know better. You will know how to react or what to do with this. Okay.
Okay.
Mm. What's December to you? Anything? December.
Yeah. I have a few friends with birthdays, a couple of guys that I know. It could be a few different things.
Okay. I don't know why I'm getting December 21st. I don't know if that's mm-hmm. a special date or some birthday or something like that. I don't know. Okay. Basically, the feeling I'm getting from all of them is that you know what you're doing. You know where you're going, and that there's nothing that you need to worry about right now. Like, okay. You're making the right decisions. You're going forward. You're always going forward. And you know when to let things go. You know when to let people go. You know when to let things go.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm trying to, like, is a G name with anybody that's passed make sense to you? G, and I want to say it sounds like Glenda or something like that. Does that make any sense?
I have such a big family, like it doesn't at the moment, but I'm not saying that not it wouldn't, because I have like a huge family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be Gloria or GL something.
Okay.
GL.
I think
yeah.
Gloria.
You have a Gloria?
Yes.
Okay. It could be her. Yeah, there's something with it. Are you thinking about getting a puppy, or did you just get a puppy?
I'd love to. My lease won't allow me to, but I would love to move. And if I do get to move, that's the first thing.
Yeah, you will move, and you will get that puppy. So cute.
Okay.
So cute. Okay, yeah, that's what I got for you so far. I mean, I think that's what I can give you tonight.
I appreciate it.
Love it. you're welcome. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, make sure you call in next time we have a show.
Okay, definitely.
Okay.
I really do appreciate it.
Okay. Sure, you're welcome. Hey, take it easy. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay, so we have 812. I don't know who this is either. 812? Hello, 812, are you there? No. 812. No, they're not there. They must have fallen asleep. Are you still there, Beth?
I'm here, yeah.
Okay. All right,
I keep checking the battery
440.
On my phone because both of my phones were low on battery, so I don't want to, like, disconnect and be, like, talking.
Okay. Well, we only have about a half hour left, so hopefully it'll hold out. So 440, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, my name is Patricia.
Hello. Hi, Patricia. Yes. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you all?
Okay. We're doing okay, I think, you know?
So far, so good.
All right. I have a couple more questions I want to ask. I've just been, I'm at a crossroads, so to speak, creating a new life personally, spiritually, a lot of things going on. Yes, I know the whole planet is, but obviously this is regarding me. And I need to, I'm in the process of teaching myself some new skills. And needing to relocate to another state. I'm seeing the word Tucson, and it's obviously must be connected with the state of Arizona. I need to find out if it's there or close to there. Will I be relocating to? I went to Arizona last month, but I just went to Phoenix, and I did pray and ask for guidance. But I couldn't get to a lot of places. With the public transportation, I did get somewhat of a familiarity, but I have been asking for guidance, asking my ancestors, my guide. The word Tucson came forth, and if there is allies to help me, because I would not have chosen this, so I know this is something that I need to accomplish, do.
Right. Okay.
Right. I didn't mean to say a whole lot of information at you.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see what Beth has to say about this. Beth?
All right. I think that you sound like me, like when you say that you just keep getting Tucson, I think that's something you have to listen to. It's your subconscious, whether it's your subconscious saying that's what you want, or whether it's, something else telling you that's what you should do. Either way, it's definitely worth exploring and, really kind of maybe think about, what are the pros and cons of relocating. Relocating is really stressful, so it's like something you got to really, give a whole lot of thought to. But if that's something that you keep feeling over and over, it's definitely something you want to listen to.
I am going to relocate. Right, I am going to relocate. I mean, that's definite.
So you're definitely going to relocate. The question is where?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's Arizona, but I've been trying to figure out which city. I don't think it's Phoenix. It might be a smaller city close to a bigger city. And I'm guessing that it's probably some journey or whatever. I didn't pray for this. So,
right.
And this started happening about 6 or more months ago. So it was last month that I got the opportunity, and I felt that it was safe enough for me to fly out to Arizona to just get some type of learning and understanding. And it's like, well, because I spent about 5 days there. I definitely have to leave Ohio because it's just so messy.
You got to get out of there. You got to get out.
And then, yeah, the energy here.
You
got to
get
really
out. You got to get out. Listen, did you feel like when you went to Arizona that you felt like you were much more at ease, Patricia?
Did I? Can you
did you feel like you were much more at? Yeah. What did you feel like you were much more at ease when you were in Arizona?
I believe I did feel that. I mean, I was so focused on trying to find out, a sign or something, but that was my focus. and I found the people, you know, friendly, you know, strangers on the bus, you know, trains, you know, were helping me out and talking to me.
Mhm. Right. Well, like Beth said, you're hearing that. That means something. That means something. You do, listen, you know, personally, this is what I'm saying to you, Patricia, you need to get out of Ohio and yeah. get out of there because that's yeah. not your home. You know what I mean?
Yeah. yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like there's, you know, Tucson, and I'm seeing Flagstaff. I don't know why I'm seeing Flagstaff. But anywhere you land in Arizona is going to be much more conducive to who you are than yes. in where you are right now. I feel that, yes. you know.
Yes, definitely.
So,
and being yeah. an empath, you know, it's just been it's just been difficult. And like I said, you know, I'm teaching myself, you know, freelance writing and content writing, so I can start doing that. Plus, learning a tech skill like audio, video editing, so that I can offer that, and that will be at a higher premium price and service. And yeah, I will have, you know, a bridge job to, you know, support me and, you know, fund my businesses. And I obviously prefer to work out right. at home. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But I've been feeling such resistance on, I don't know, maybe my attention's just too spread out. Like when I didn't seem like I practiced enough, you know, now I'm learning freelance, you know, writing and mean, and then, you know, copywriting and how to do that and create my portfolio and this and that. And I know that I'm going to,
right.
you know, move on here. Because it was just always a struggle with jobs. But, yeah, I just find myself resisting. And I've been doing the energy work continually. The Ho'oponopono prayer and EFT tapping and chanting mantras,
right.
you know, specific mantras. So, yes, I have been doing that. But I guess it's new, and, you know, this is a new time in my life, and I might, you know, I've written down plans because, you know, I want to start creating various types of income for, you know, specific reasons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Patricia, I think...
No, go ahead.
I think it's important for you to start believing in yourself, like completely believing in yourself, because I
yes.
think that is what is stopping you right now, okay?
No.
Okay. So I know you're praying and you're, like, meditating and you're doing all of that, but the root of it is that you must believe in yourself and what you have to offer other people, because you have it. You have it in you to do this.
All right.
So I need you to completely own that and to know that you have that in you to do, and don't have any fear about what might happen. Because what might happen, you have, what might happen is you're going to have a much more fulfilling life. You're going to turn a lot of people on to whatever you can offer them. You're going to help
right.
people heal. So I need you to step into that. I need you to not be afraid of that. Because even if when you begin to do this and you move, it's slow at first. It's going to pick up momentum. I see success with this. I see you just need to let go of that fear and that doubt in yourself. That's the only thing stopping you. And
okay.
How long are you going to let that stop you
okay.
for? Okay? You need to
yeah.
you need to step into it, you know?
Right, yeah, because I've got to get my, you know, and I want to leave, you know, this city and state. Okay.
Yeah, really. I mean, go ahead.
I've been dealing with cravings, and I mean, I was always a snacker and a sweet eater. But I'll stop, and then I mean, I just will eat a bit, and then I want start eating a little bit of red meat, and I usually want to just keep it at, you know, like some white fish or seafood. But it's these cravings. I mean, it's just my body, and of course I've got some extra. I've got a little bit of a belly and some weight on my thighs, which I don't need the excess weight, but yeah, it's cravings, and I don't know if it's me self-sabotaging or if my body needs some type of nutrient. Would you be able to pick that up?
Yeah, you need more protein. That's what you're craving is the protein, okay? So when you
uh-huh.
said you don't eat red meat, you need protein. You can get protein from other things. It doesn't have to be red meat.
Right.
But you need the protein. That's
yeah.
what your body is saying to you.
Yeah.
You can get
protein
from a lot of things.
Yeah, because I usually eat some beans or lentils, but it's hot, so I'm not doing that.
Yeah. So I'd say put that more in your diet, you know what I mean? Like more protein in your diet.
Right.
I also feel like you're not drinking mm-hmm. enough water. I feel like you need to be more hydrated.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
do you drink at least 8 glasses of water a day?
Okay, yeah, I've really focused on drinking, you know, water like every hour. You know, a cup or a full glass, you know, every hour, every couple of hours, because I usually want to stop at 7:30.
Right.
So, yeah,
that's
just,
good. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep drinking a lot of water, a lot of fluids.
Right.
That's also going to help you with your healing abilities, because any time that we're well hydrated, it really does lend to our talent with those kind of things.
Right.
It's just very important, because you will feel dehydrated after, you know, even though you think you're not beginning right now to heal other people, you are. You are already healing other people. And that takes a lot out of us, so we need to mm-hmm. rehydrate constantly. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. So let us know what happens. And I expect the next time I hear from you, Patricia, you're going to be in Arizona.
Yes. Yeah. September. All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Have a good evening.
Okay. Love to you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Beth, are you still there?
I'm still
oh,
here.
You are still there. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
The battery's
so,
holding out.
okay, good. Silent. All right, let's see. Who do we have? Ooh, shoot. Hold on. I picked up the wrong call. Hold on. I'm trying to get him in order. 917-324.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
917-324.
Yeah, can you hear
okay,
me?
Okay, how are you?
Not bad.
Yes, we can hear you.
It's Saturday night, and, you know, I just spent some time with a friend of mine, but I'm looking forward to somebody in my life in terms of love. So do you see that happening anytime soon?
So can I ask you, are you about 5'9"?
No, I'm taller than that.
Oh, 6'2"?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I was going to say 6'2".
So, yeah, I don't think you have any problem attracting women. What is your name, first of all?
Ashil, A-S-H-I-L.
Okay, Ashil. I don't think you have any problem attracting women. What do you feel, Beth?
Well, I don't think he has any problem attracting women either. I think you know, might be worrying about it too much. Honestly, often what happens is we want to attract a person to, you know, to be with, but the more you want it, the less it happens, and it's kind of one of those things that just you gotta not look for it so hard, if that makes any sense.
I like you said, I have no problem, you know, people are attracted to me, but I have problem finding what I'm looking for, so to speak, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I understand that too.
I think, Ashil, sometimes we think people aren't like what we expect, but I've noticed this in my own life. It's like, you know, I can't get exactly what is in my mind, but I'm surprised by who comes along and has all these other qualities, and then pretty soon I'm in love with them. You know what I mean? So, I mean, have you thought about that? Like, they can't, like, be so... I'm not saying don't be picky, because I certainly
no,
am.
No.
I mean,
I've been, believe it or not, I've been open, but a lot of time, I find myself opening myself up to realizing, you know, what I'm looking for. So I try to change that after a while, you know, because, I was open, you know, get a chance, you never know, like you said. But it's always, then I realized, you know what, I should have trusted my intuition in the first place. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's a matter of patience. I don't know what it is, to be honest with you. I mean, if I just told anybody that, I can't.
Okay.
But I'm looking to settle down, you know what I mean? So that's true.
Right. So do you know a woman that is, like, kind of shorter? She's, like, 5'3 or something, and she's got sort of, I want to say she's got, like, red streaks in her hair. Do you know somebody like that?
No, at the moment, I'm not talking to anyone. I'm just open to, you know, whatever universe is sending my way.
Right. I feel like you're going to be meeting this woman, though. I do. I want to tell you, I feel like you're going to be meeting this woman at a restaurant or some gathering that you're going to in the next few months. She's shorter, like I said. She's like 5'3". She's got sort of red streaks in her hair. Her hair's dark, but she's got like reddish in her hair somehow. And she's smart. She's a smart girl. Let me see. Hold on. Oh, let me see. Yeah, you guys are at an event or something that you're going to be attending in the next 3 months. To you, you're like, okay, you guys start talking. She's very smart. Like I said, she's like, I don't know. I feel like she works in an office for a lawyer or something like that. I'm not positive. But anyways, I think this is coming up for you. I'm seeing it happening.
Okay.
Yeah. What's her name? Hold on. Even though if I tell you a name, don't like look for that name. Just be
aware of this name. I don't mind being surprised. To be honest with you, I don't mind being surprised. So.
Yeah. I want to say it's an A name, but I'm not positive. I'm not even going to say it. Next 3 months, there's something that you can attend that you go to, and you meet this girl. And she's so cute. She's wicked cute. But she's honest, and she's smart. And she's good. She's good.
Okay.
Yeah, so please, will you call back and let me know if you meet her?
I will.
Yeah, because, I mean, you are going to settle down. There's going to be somebody that comes along for you, like, soon, that you really commune with, you know?
Cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm looking forward to it, too.
Okay. Well, I will let you know, though. Thank you so much, ladies.
Okay, you're welcome. Have a good night.
Oh, before I go, do you see that as a relationship, you said? That's what you said? I just want to confirm.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's going to be a long-term relationship. I think she's going to be the one for you. She's definitely marriage material.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay. So, let me see. Beth, are you still there? You're hanging on.
I am.
Oh?
I am.
Okay, all right. I'm like, whoop. You've gone.
Oh, that's just weird because it just repeated back to me what I just said.
Yeah, there's echoing happening, I know. Yeah. Okay. So who is, all right, wait a minute, hold on. 973, shoot. All right. Now, hold on a second. Let me just see. I'm getting all confused with the numbers here. 310, okay, let's see who this is. 310-740. Hello? 310? 310. No. Nope. Okay. They're not there.
Hello?
Okay.
Hello?
I think
hello?
Oh, hello?
Hello?
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
You had me on mute still.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, how are you?
Yeah. I'm doing good. This is Vince. I'm calling from New York. And I want to find out job-wise. Right now, I have a job. I'm working for a huge soda company. We don't make soda at the plant. We make the juices. But it's like a little over 2-hour drive for me. And I'm making good money, but I'm not because it's it's like 3 days on, 2 days off, and then 4 days on and 3 days off type of thing. So it's like, so what I'm doing right now is I'm on the verge of changing jobs. I got a new job. I'm waiting to hear about my starting date and everything, but I'm not going to be, I'm considered temporary, but it's like full-time, but temporary, and I'm going to be making a lot less money, but I'm only taking it because it's a huge brewery, and I do have experience, and also, too, there's going to be room for advancement, like, down the road if I do a good job. As soon as an opening comes up full-time, I'll be the first to be considered for that. So I'm wondering if I'm making the right move and going to this job, and if they are going to take me on full-time, and how long do you think that'll take?
Okay, what was your name again? Sorry.
Vince.
Okay, Vince, thank you. I feel like they are going to take you on full time. I think it's a good thing. It's a good move. Because they need help. They need somebody that's reliable and is going to show up and all that. Let me see. Beth, what are you feeling?
I think the same. I think it's it makes sense to go in that direction. It's I mean, all of that sounds positive, and it feels like that, you know, that's something that you know that's agreeable to you, even though, you know, it might not be absolutely, you know, the best money in the world, but the ultimate goal is, you know, it, definitely something that would be great for you. And I think it's definitely, you know, going to pan out.
Okay. Yeah, do you know how long it would be before it take me on full time once I start?
What, you know what pops into my
mind is six months
for some reason.
Yeah.
That just,
okay.
You know, that just popped into my head.
Okay. Yeah, because it's like, because they said it's like 6 months probation. And also too, it's like a half hour drive from where I live right now. Because right now where I work, instead of coming home every day, I sleep in the car. You know, to save money and everything, but it's really not where I want to be at right now. You know, I want to be able to come home. And also too, when they do take me on full time, it'll be almost a $10 difference an hour in pay. So that's another thing to look forward to. Plus I have experience working in a brewery. So, yeah, so they really like me and everything went well with the three interviews that I had and everything. So I'm just waiting for a starting date now. I've already cleared the background check and everything.
Good, good. Yeah, I don't see any issues with this job. I feel like it's really going to move forward. And like Beth said, 6 months, that's what I felt. I mean, it's worth it. I think it's worth it for you to hang in there and try this out, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to cross my fingers and hope everything goes well because they seem to like me and they liked my experience and everything, so.
Right. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good.
And I do have... one more question. It's not about me. It's about a family friend. This friend of the family is a very good friend of the family. She was a child actress. She was in a very popular sitcom back in the early 80s. Anyway, she grew up to be a veterinarian. And she's had two really bad marriages, and both of them, they used her because of her fame. And and she's really smart. Everybody loves her, but because of the two marriages and plus she's gone through a lot of cancer treatment and everything, she has become somewhat suicidal. And the family's been trying to help her through everything right now. So I'm wondering if she's going to be okay and get through all this and actually find someone who actually loves her for her and not for her fame. You know, and if things are going to be okay for her.
Oh, yeah. She's had an interesting life. I mean, I feel like everything that's happened to her, she's had like a really colorful life, you know what I mean? Like she's gone through a lot of stuff. But I think right now she's going to feel some, you know, she's going to experience some calm and peace through this, like she's finally easing out of the major traffic she was in for a long time. Does Blair have anything to do with her?
I don't know, Blair, but she was on the show What's Happening. She knows a lot of people and everything, and she's been wanting to get back into acting, and she's really good at being a veterinarian too. Everybody just loves her. She's just been making really bad choices when it comes to relationships.
Don't we all?
Yeah, I know that one too well.
Yeah. I see peace for her. I don't see any more upheavals. I feel like she's going to ease into the rest of her life, and it's relatively peaceful. I don't feel like she's going to, like, encounter anything else that is traumatic or, you know, going to knock her off guard or anything like that. I feel like she's going to be okay. I feel like she's going to be okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
And she's got a good support system around her, too.
Yeah, she's got a lot of good friends. Yeah, I just wish she could find a really good relationship. But she's got a lot of good friends.
Yeah. She will find a good relationship. It's just going to take a little bit of time, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, when you're like, when you're in the spotlight like she was, it's like we don't know who wants to be with us because of who we are or what we did. Or it's very hard to discern who's real and who's not.
Yeah.
I think she's learned a lot of lessons through this, and she's going to know. And besides that, she has all these people around her to tell her, give her feedback about who she's going to be with, you know. Are they real? Do they really care about you and all the other stuff? So I think she's going to be okay, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Nice of you to ask, though, Vin. Yeah.
Well, she's a really sweet woman. I met her a couple of times, and I just loved her as a person, and I also thought she was extremely hilarious on that show, and I told her one of my favorite episodes she did, and I was dying laughing the way it went. You know, so it's just sad that, you know, things have gone on a downhill for her with the cancer and everything, but so hopefully this is going to be a really great wake-up call, and she'll be able to get through this and be okay.
Yeah, I really feel like she will get through this and she will be absolutely okay. But let us know.
All right.
Call us back and let us know what's going on, you know?
I definitely will.
Okay. Thank you so much, Vince.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Have a great night.
Okay. So, Beth, you too. So, Beth, you have been a godsend once again. Once again. No, seriously, I so much appreciate it. You know what I mean? You don't even know. You don't even know.
Oh, that's so nice.
To all the calls. Yeah, of course. And, you know, I look forward to just doing a show. You know, last time we did a show, it was about life after death and the questions around it, and I love that.
Oh yeah.
And
that was a great show. I loved it.
Yeah, and you've been learning so much, and I'm, you know, we're always learning, of course, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But I look forward to the next time that I can try to answer more questions for you, hopefully.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you don't even know how helpful you've been to me. It's amazing. I mean, you're like my like my mentor now.
Mentor, yeah, one or the other.
Mentor. Okay. How about that?
Mentor. That's good. That's perfect. Okay, so thanks you guys for joining us tonight. And if we didn't get to you tonight, we'll get to you next time. I'm keeping track of the numbers that we didn't get to you tonight, so I'll definitely get to you next time. And because the show's going to end in like 2 minutes, so or the after time's going to end in 2 minutes. But anyways, we'll get to you next time, and I sure appreciate you being here and listening to everything. And I hope you guys take care of yourselves and you take care of one another. And we'll see you next time. And until then, please take care and all the rest, okay? And we'll see you very soon. So I'm going to play a poem, and then we're out of here. Thank you, Beth, once again.
Oh, you're most welcome.
Blown. Now appears slow winter without a fire anywhere in the heart. The wine tastes of an autumn gone or early snow. The vine growers rest by the hearth, finished with harvesting earth's blood. This wine made from the wings of butterflies and the petals of dandelions. This is for your waiting. Love has brought you to these rooms where you sit and smoke cigarette after cigarette. The hounds wait for you to release them, and the fireplace embers grow cold and gray. Snow falls through the chimney, landing in soft ash. Out in the winter night air, where the moon is kind and gold, you step through the snow barefoot towards the blue spruce trees, where even now the birds are shifting in their nests, aware that something has not settled comfortably, that something is out of order and unnatural, aware perhaps that love has flown to a more exotic land, away from you.